I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Are you serious?
Yes, there are plenty of ways to kill some time out there. Right now, you're killing some time with I, Marcus Brunzi.
And me, Nick Bright. What's good?
I'm good, man. How you doing today?
Yeah, man. Not too bad. Been a couple of weeks since the last time I caught up on the pod.
Exactly 14 days.
Wow.
Exactly 14 days. And I think we should just jump straight into it on today's show. What have we been up to?
Well, we have been playing all kinds of games, like loads of different types. In fact, we had a little bit of VR action.
Mm-hmm.
We had regular PlayStation action.
Mm-hmm.
We've even took it to the mobile phone. We had app action as well. Five for Feb is what we're calling it.
Five for Feb. Five apps for Feb.
Exactly.
Makes sense. Alliteration.
Everybody likes alliteration in audio, man.
Likes alliteration. No, I'm trying to.
Yeah, that is a bit of a crowbar there.
Okay, cool. But yeah, they do, and it works. But we found some great things for you to kill some time with that are free. We found some great ways to kill some time that are not that free.
Yeah.
Some that are fun. Some that, Nick... Well, I'll let you describe those when we get to them in the show.
Yeah.
But should we kick it off with the apps first, though?
Yeah,
man?
Go for it, man.
What was the first app you got your hands on?
So the first app that I got my hands on was Retro Soccer. So basically, this is an app that you can play. It's exactly what it says on the tin. It's available on Android and iOS as well for Apple. And essentially, it's a retro style football game, but for your phone.
Yeah.
Now, I'm just going to say off the bat, I'm not normally a big fan of football games on phones, because immediately when I play, say, like FIFA or something like that, you've got a controller, you've got like full control over the players. And when it's on like the touch screen, it's never that good. Like, because I know there's FIFA for iPhone.
Yeah.
Never enjoyed it. Didn't really get into it. But this, because it's very simple, I quite liked it. Not going to lie. I mean, it took me ages to work out how to shoot, how to do anything. I was pretty much just like hammering on the screen. But I managed to win 1-0.
You did.
Yeah, I played against the Ukraine. I was the all-star team and I beat them 1-0.
So you picked the best team that ever could exist and played Ukraine?
Well, it just came up as the all-star team. I thought I was picking Ukraine for me. Because, you know, like Ukrainian dons, they're hard. You know what I mean?
For real?
Like, these dudes are going to be tough. You know what I'm saying? It turns out I was playing against Ukraine, but I still slapped them up still, you know what I mean?
But yeah, so that was Retro Soccer. It's free, I believe.
Yeah, free.
Free
price.
You can
get that for free, which is everybody's favourite price, let's be honest.
Because we're doing your fave five apps in February.
Five for Feb.
Can we give it a mark out of five for Feb?
I'm going to give Retro Soccer a 3.5.
Okay,
five.
And why is it missing the 1.5 to make it a five all-star five game?
Just because it's very basic, you know, like for a football game. The thing is, it's weird because the basicness is a blessing, but it's also a curse. You know what I mean? It'd be hard to give a really basic app a 5 out of 5.
That's true. By the way, just quick digression. You can find everything that we speak about in this show. You have links to it in the show description.
Yep.
Or if you just go to howtokillanhour.com, you can find your five for Feb.
Yeah, you can see the write-up about them as well on the website. So head over there.
Exactly. So that was Retro Sock Shot.
What was it?
Retro Soccer.
Retro Soccer, mate.
What was the next one, mate?
Right, the next one. Now, this, straight off the bat, real good. It's called Amateur Surgeon 4. Now, I really, really like this. Apparently, it's from the legendary adult cartoon makers, Adult Swim, the same people that make Rick and Morty, right?
Yeah, that's right. Sick cartoon.
Which, you know, we were talking about this off mic earlier on, and yep. I was just saying, you know, Rick and Morty, I'm not really that into it. I've seen loads of it because my flatmate loves it, and like, you know, I do watch it because it was on Netflix. I'd sometimes just put it on.
Yeah.
But like, I'm not like, I don't feel about Rick and Morty the same way I feel about, say, American Dad or Family Guy.
Okay, yeah. And you know what? I think a lot of people got onto the Rick and Morty hype because they just heard it was good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was like trending, but I still think it's quite a niche thing, because
yeah, yeah.
The reason I like it is I love sci-fi right. shit. So as soon as I found out it was like a sci-fi comedy, I'm like, yeah, yeah. I'm into it.
The thing that puts me off about it is like, but I get that it's the joke, is that basically Rick's the
yeah.
scientist.
Rick yeah. Sanchez, yeah.
Yeah. Rick talks and burps at the same time, basically. Just, the whole time. Like, hey, man. Like, that's the joke, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, what is this? Why is this guy keep burping? Because I didn't see it from the start. I'm just seeing random episodes yeah. every now and then.
And anyway, a little bit of vomit at the side of his mouth yeah, sometimes as well.
A bit weird, yeah. Anyway, back to the game. Amateur yeah. Surgeon 4, essentially you become a surgeon and you have to perform, let's just say, basic operations on different patients. You have to do things like stitch them up, kind of take away burns, basic stuff. Extract weird things that they've got stuck inside them as well. You know, make of that what you will. The thing is, to talk about this one, it doesn't sound like it's going to be that good. You're just like, that sounds a bit rubbish. But actually, I really, really enjoyed this one out of the gate. It was one of the ones that left me going, when I like closed it down to play the next one, because obviously we have 5 to get through, I was like, oh, I wish I could play that for a little bit longer. You know yeah. what I mean? It would definitely pass time on the commute. I don't know at this moment in time if you need signal to play it. I'm going to probably say no. Like, so you might be able to use it if you're like on a tube or, you know, you're on a plane or somewhere that hasn't got any reception. So yeah, I really like this one. And out of 5, I am going to give Amateur Surgeon 4, 4.5.
Nice, nice. And why is it missing the 0.5?
Just because it's hard to give something perfection. I'm very stingy with giving out 5s, you know.
That's fair enough. But with regards to Amateur Surgeon, because I had a go on this as well, it's the tools that you use, you're not actually using proper scalpels and stuff. Obviously, you're using like salad tongs.
Pizza slicer.
Chainsaw. Yeah. You know, Hoover. And stuff like that in the mix. And there's a little bit of story behind it, which is kind of, if you're familiar with the Rick and Morty style comedy or the sort of adult cartoon stuff, think like Cartoon Network, but for adults. If you're familiar with that, then you'll get the jokes that are in it as well. The cost of it's freemium.
Again, free, mate. Yeah, no freemium. Charge.
What do you think of the prompts to like buy extra coins and life? You just pass that?
Most people, let's be honest, most of us just ignore that shit. Yeah. Like, I can't think of a game that has hooked me enough, a freemium game that's hooked me enough to make me go, yeah, I'm going to spend some money on this game. Like, I can't think of one.
You're right. I've never paid the dollar.
Because even when Super Mario Run, it's on iOS.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Even when is it called Run? I want to be right.
Yeah, I think you are. Yeah.
Anyway, the Super Mario game that's available on iOS. Even when that came out, everyone was like, "Oh, you got to pay for it." Blah 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 blah. I was like, "Nah, not gonna. I'm gonna play the free one and then just not upgrade."
Exactly.
But, like, lots of people did upgrade, you know, for that.
Nah, forget that. Play the free one. It was Super Mario Run. Excellent. So that was Amateur Surgeon 4. Obviously, it's been doing well because there were 1, 2, and 3. And you can also play a remastered version of that complete with the game with new operations and unique story. So it's kind of like 4 games for one there.
Yeah.
The next game you played, Nick, we took it to the AR level. Some AR iPhone business.
Yep. So this one was Pidgin Panic. Let me say that again. This one was Pidgin Panic AR. So this is essentially the best way to describe it is like what you used to do with pigeons when you used to go down a park or whatever when you were little.
Shag
like, them. Is that what you used to do with pigeons?
I thought that was what everyone did. I'm sure I've seen a video on YouTube where.
Someone probably has
shagged the pigeon. I mean, in this world now, it's 2018, it's fair to say someone has shagged a pigeon, perhaps maybe even this year already.
Someone's probably had a pigeon orgy as well, because they roll around with loads of other pigeons.
What would make you...
Porgy.
What would make you want to have that sort of like a birdie... Like, why? I don't understand. Nick, can you help shed some light on why this type of bestiality exists?
I mean, you talk to me like I'm the expert on the subject. Well, Marcus, I'll tell you exactly why this kind of bestiality exists. It's because I haven't got a clue.
Like, why would you fuck a chicken?
Because there's loads of mental people in the world.
But surely there's like better things to fuck, like apple pie.
Yeah, but maybe it's the fact that it's a live thing. People, like, an apple pie is not alive. People shag their cars. There's people out there that shag the exhaust pipes on their cars, but it's not alive.
I would rather do that.
Yeah, but maybe they
than
want
bang a chicken.
Yeah, but they might want something squirming. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying.
They're disgusting. They're like quite dirty. Chickens are quite dirty animals. You know, they do. Like, my nanny used to have a farm, so she would say chickens would eat anything. Like, you could curl one off and throw it on the floor in front of a chicken and it would peck at your shit. Whereas pigs are a little bit more, like, they would eat most things. So chickens are really dirty. And if you're getting close enough to a chicken to get in its vag or anus, you're going to learn that quick, man. No one even, like, a bird shit, when that drops on your head, that's disgusting. Imagine a bird shitting on your dick.
I mean, it's meant to be good luck, innit? So, I mean, you know, maybe they do it because they're like, I need to pull on Friday. Better shag me pigeon on Thursday then.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Anyway.
Pigeon panic. AR. Let's get back on point. Right. It's what you used to do as a kid when you'd see loads of pigeons in a group. You'd run at them to scare them off, right?
Not shag them.
Not shag them. Cool, especially when you were younger. I mean, I don't know what your upbringing was like, Marcus, but, you know, I weren't really...
It's for another podcast, like, mate. It's for another day.
Yeah, that's for the one you record on a Wednesday, the Marcus Bestiality
Marcus
cast.
Marcus weeps.
Right. So, it's basically you running a load of AR pigeons.
Yeah.
So, you can see, using the iPhone camera, you scatter some food around, right? Mm-hmm. And you can see your surroundings. So, mm-hmm. It looks as if, you know, you can see where you are, the park, yeah. Whatever it may be. Throw some food around and then some pigeons land and you have to try and scare off as many of them as possible in a certain amount of time. Now, we did this in an area in the How to Kill an Office HQ, mm-hmm. How to Kill an Hour Office HQ, I should say. We did it in an area called the Atrium, which it's quite a large outdoor space. Not really big, but, like, you know, you can run around out there.
Yeah.
And it still wasn't big enough.
It wasn't. You actually need a park.
Yeah, because when I was doing this, and also with the Atrium, it's worth pointing out that I looked absolutely crazy when I was doing this. If you see the video, which will probably be on the How to Kill an Hour website.
We will put a link to this in the show description.
So basically, I was running around trying to catch these pigeons or scare them off. But in the atrium, people's offices look into the atrium.
Yeah.
So there's people trying to do work in that, and they're just looking at me running around, looking crazy. And then some of the pigeons were, like, technically in those people's offices, so I couldn't get at the pigeons.
Yeah.
So I couldn't scare them off. So I didn't actually complete this game. So I can imagine, you know, maybe in the summertime, in the UK anyway, if you live somewhere hot, then it don't really matter. But, like, in the UK or somewhere else where it's freezing in the winter, this ain't really one for the winter time. But in the summer, when it's baking, you take a disposable barbecue to the park, got a few drinks. I mean,
it's fun, it's free. And before I ask you for your out of five, I realise that, well, you're recommending we play this outside in a park area.
Yeah.
Where you're probably quite likely to find real life pigeons.
Yeah.
Does that take away a little bit of the necessity from this game? Or is there enough fun in it with the way that it's played to make it sort of like, you know what, instead of fake pigeons, I'd rather chase these... Sorry, instead of real ones, I'd rather chase these AR ones.
Well, I guess the difference is on this, you've got like a score. Mm. It keeps score for you. And it's like, I think it was like 80 pigeons or something that was the maximum amount.
Yeah.
And like, you're trying to scare them all off. Whereas in real life, if you were doing it in real life, you don't know how many you're scaring off.
Yeah,
you know
fair
I mean?
Enough. Fair enough.
So like...
All right.
So I guess that's it, really, you know.
Okay.
Out of five.
Free app. One that you can play outside. You use AR, so you point your camera at the floor and it makes fake pigeons for you. What'd you give it, Nick?
I didn't really enjoy this, man. Not going to lie. Like, I'm going to give this a 2.
And why the 2?
Just because I'm lazy. All the running around upset me a bit, you know. Like, and I just thought it was very basic, you know. Right. And not basic in... Because there's another one that we're going to talk about in a bit, which is really basic but super fun. But this was basic and it wasn't the good basic for me anyway.
Didn't hook you in?
Nah.
Didn't hook you in?
No.
All right, well, the next one wasn't very basic. It's another AR one, Table Zombies. How'd you find that?
Yeah, now this was mad. It's basically like Marcus said, it's AR, but you have to print out a piece of paper with like a like a picture.
It's like a poster, doesn't it? Like a zombie poster.
I was literally going to say it's like a movie poster for table zombies.
Yeah. Here you go. Whip it out.
There it is, yeah. And it says, bring the fight to the table. So what you do with that is you put that on the table, and then once you get into the game, past the menus, and you go, you know, new game or whatever, you then point your camera, your iPhone camera, at the piece of paper, and up pops a map, essentially. Up pops like a landscape. And in within that landscape, you know, there's like a few buildings, crashed police cars, or just crashed cars in general, as well as like soldiers who are your friends fighting zombies. And you're kind of like elevated up high. So I like to imagine that I'm in a helicopter when I was playing it.
Yeah.
And I'm like the helicopter support.
You want a helicopter support? I make you right?
Yeah. And I'm up there shooting zombies and stuff. And it was basically like five waves. So kill the first wave, second wave, third wave, fourth wave, fifth wave, and done.
Mm.
There was, if I remember correctly, there was five different types of gun which you could use, which was decent, gave you a bit of variety. Took me a little bit of time to work out that there was a little black bar, because I was too transfixed on, you know, the zombies and that. There's a little black bar on each of your weapons, and that's your ammo. But you don't have to collect ammo, but once the black bar is down to the bottom, it takes a little bit of time to rejuvenate back to the top. So I was just like clicking on weapons and just like hammering the screen, like, why are they shooting? And then like I realized that there was a kind of ammo mechanic that you needed to stick to. Some weapons, like there was a Gatling gun, which obviously you get way more out of than a rocket launcher, where you only get one shot. So yeah, I thought it was good. I feel like it's definitely one that you can only really play at home or in the office. You're not really going to whip this out on the train or the tube or the bus.
Yeah, excuse me. Do you mind just...
Yeah.
I'm using that seat for my table zombies.
Is someone sitting there? Yeah, I'm playing table zombies, so you can't sit there, mate. Soz. So yeah, just for that reason alone, that's why it's going to get marked down. 3.5, really good though, but just due to the pure fact that you can only really do this at home or you know, at work on your lunch break, or if you've got a safe boss anytime. 3.5.
Quick word about this game. I think it's really shows you an example of the way AR works. So, you know, pointing your phone at, like with Pokemon Go, that was a good example of how AR can work.
Yeah.
This looks really, really cool. And I feel like one of the places that it's lacking is that it's a great mechanic, sort of. It's like the way that the weapons are set up. It looks visually amazing. You can move the paper around and the app doesn't stutter at all, really.
No.
You know, you pretty much have to turn the paper over for it to stop working. But I feel like it could do with a little bit more story in there. Like, I would love a game where there's a story that encourages you to walk around a bit of paper or the map and explore it in 3D, but through your phone on AR.
Because it wasn't really 3D in the sense of, like, obviously the landscape or map that appeared was 3D, but it wasn't like you had to navigate your way through anything. You just kind of stayed in one place and just shot for ages. But it's early days of this tech, really, isn't it? So, you know.
Wouldn't mind a fighting game. Like, I had a little monster, you had a monster, and we just fought them, and my phone was pointing at the paper and your phone was pointing at the paper. I'd love that.
A bit like Digimon.
Just like Digimon.
For the AR generation.
Exactly.
Trademark, How to Kill an Owl. You got to pay us 50% if you come up with that, anyone.
60%, man. That's what I want. 60. Next game, please, Nick.
Right, last but not least then.
The creme de la creme de la creme de la creme.
5-4. Feb is Paper Bin AR. Now, this is the game that I was talking about earlier when I said about finding the right level of basicness, because this is so basic. It is essentially a bin and a piece of paper, or lots of bits of paper, and you're flicking them into the bin. You know, like when you're in the office and you just screw up a bit of paper and dash it in the bin. Mm. It's that, but you don't have to have any of the mess and it's on your phone. So there's like different ranges. You can put the bin in very easy, easy, medium, or hard. Very easy was very easy. Easy was also quite easy. Medium, I think medium is where I was at. I found my level at medium. I was okay. I could get 10 in a row.
All right.
I wanted to get 10 in a row before I quit medium and put it on hard. And then when I put it on hard, I was like, yeah, I'll try and do 5 in a row. I was there for ages. I tried to do 3 in a row. I was there for ages. Kept getting 2 and then flopping on the third one. The pressure. And then I finally got 3 in a row and could stop. But again, this was very basic, but it's the right side of basic, because what I just described is essentially it. There's nothing else really to it. There was a global leaderboard. I think I was at the top of the global leaderboard when I was playing.
Really? I didn't know whether you were just saying it, because we have put this on the YouTube. There'll be a link to this in the show description, so you can check whether Nick's telling the truth or not.
No.
You were a world champion today.
Yeah. I don't know how many people had played today and how many people have the game, but out of everybody who had played the game today, I scored the most bits of paper in the basket.
I think it's fair to say about a zillion people were playing today.
Yeah, I think so as well.
You were number one out of a zillion.
The whole globe was probably playing, yeah.
Mm. How about the price of this, Nick?
Again, free, and it's available for Apple and Android, so download that, have a go, see what I mean. It's not everybody's cup of tea, but I did enjoy it. I'm going to give that a 4 out of 5.
Well, there you go. That's our top 5 for Feb in terms of apps for you to get your hands on. Like I said, and I keep saying, if you want to check them out, just go to the links in the show description. We made it easy for you. Or go to howtokillanhour.com and look out for the 5 February apps. So that's the freeness from the February 5 apps that we've told you about.
Free apps for Feb.
That's
free,
right.
Faps for Feb.
Free faps. Or a fwop. We also played some games that cost some money.
Yeah.
First things first, Nick, we put you in some VR today.
Yep.
Just a moment. And we took you out of the AR world that we've been talking about a lot, and we put you into the VR world, right?
Yeah, we played on the Oculus Rift. The game was called Skyfront VR. Now, essentially, we just sum it up for you. It's a first-person shooter where you are flying around a landscape that is like floating, mountainy type looking things.
Yeah.
Best way for me to describe it. You're flying around and shooting people. And this was all online. So you're playing against actual people out there who, let's be honest, 9 times out of 10 when you play online are 65 billion zillion trillion times better than you.
There are people whose full-time job is to play a specific game. And I believe all of the people that were in the office today that was the Battlegrounds were permanent staff. And you were somebody who was in on their first day and you didn't even know where the coffee machine was.
Yeah.
That's how I feel you were treated today.
I was getting slapped up left, right, and centre. But see, the problem with me, this is why I tend, personally, it's just personal preference. I know I'm the minority as well when I say this. I tend to not so much enjoy playing online gaming. I know most people nowadays play online and they love it and blah, blah. I don't like playing online because I get a personal vendetta against people. Like, especially on a game where you're going against someone in something. So if I get killed, you know, it says, Davey killed you. I'm like, right, Davey, it's me and you for the rest of the time. Like, everyone else might as well not be there.
Oh, and then that puts pressure on the rest of your game, and you're too busy looking for Davey.
Yeah.
And you don't see Simon behind your back trying to kill you.
But then even if Simon kills me, because he weren't the first one that killed me, it's like, forget you, Simon.
Davey's got to get it.
I'm only about Davey.
Davey's got
to
get it.
I can't help it. Every single game that is like this, it happens to me. Call of Duty, Battlefield, you name it.
Good example, though, actually, Call of Duty, because it's kind of, I would say a good way of describing this is if you know about the first-person shooter Call of Duty, which I'm going to presume you do. I'm just going to put out, it's such a classic title. Franchise even. This is like COD, but you literally can just fly. You just hover around, you can fly, and you can grapple as well. Because you get with the, because you're using both hands, we use this with the Oculus Touch, and you can have any weapons in either hand, but if you want to fly around or grapple, you must have the grapple in one of your hands.
Yeah.
How did you find being able to float over to a place and then flip open to like a rocket launcher and a gun and fire both at the same time?
I imagine it's one of those things that once you get the hang of it, it's just second nature. But at first, especially when you're playing against people who are clearly really good, at first the handicap for you is just like trying to flick between the different like guns and the grapple. It's just like trying to do it quick was so difficult. So like I would have to end up looking, because obviously you can see your hands when you use the Oculus Rift, you can see the controllers, you can see them when you look down.
Yeah.
I was having to like look down all the time to work out what I was flicking to and blah blah blah, and then when I'd look up, bang, dead. One of them ones, innit? So like that was a little bit annoying.
Yeah.
And also it's worth pointing out that this is VR. So you do need to physically actually move. It's one. It's a VR game where actually you do have to physically move, because you know some of them you don't actually have to move. You can
sit down.
Yeah. This one you have to kind of like turn your whole body 360 and stuff like that. Which you know, it was fun, but I nearly fell over a few times because it's mad. Like when you got that thing on, like, especially when you're looking up and you're looking round, you look at, like, you know, you lose your balance. It could be quite dangerous. And then also the wires that come out the back of the headset, I ended up literally getting tangled in them about three or four times.
Yeah.
Because you are turning, you know, looking for people. You're turning. And then before you know it, you're wrapped up in a VR headset coil.
It's undeniable that there's the next wave of VR is got
to
be wireless.
It has
to be. It's got
to
be a wireless.
I'm very surprised that at this stage, the technology is easily there. To have a wireless VR headset. Yeah. The fact that all of these, you know, units have come out and they're not wireless is, you know, a little bit disappointing for me.
Yeah, a little bit disappointed, yeah.
Because, you know, it's easy tech for them to do.
Yeah, I mean, because of that, and because of, I've got to be honest, we haven't got the biggest studio to run around and record in. I'm more of a fan of the seated games, and we have got some seated VR games that we'll be exploring in weeks to come. Just because you get a whole experience where you can, like, swivel around and look around, but you don't have to worry about running into a wall and stuff like that, because you really do need a bit of space for VR. But I do like the way that Oculus does set up the walls, though, so you don't accidentally run into stuff.
Yeah,
that's pretty good, the safety walls.
Yeah, that is pretty good, to be fair, because, you know, before VR came out, we all heard and saw these stories about, like, you know, people are going to be doing all kinds of madness, smashing their hands through the telly, blah blah blah. But actually, because of the basic, if you don't know what we're talking about, if you've never had a go, it's essentially when you're playing the game, if you get a little too close to something in real life, there's like a blue mesh that comes up within your vision, and that's kind of that's the walls of reality right there, almost.
Exactly. One thing I do like, though, about the Oculus is the controllers. They feel really accurate for me, like they fit really nicely in your hands.
Yeah. They've definitely nailed a good, because the controller is important.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
Like, I feel like the PlayStation controller is a good size myself.
100%.
Whenever I play Xbox now, I always feel like the controllers are massive,
big,
like,
isn't it? Big chunky.
So, like, the controller size does matter. Even though it was an iconic controller, I mean, I don't want to get too hung up on controllers here, but even though it's an iconic controller, the N64 controller was ridiculous.
I heard a lot of people chatting shit about it. Like, do you mean ridiculous in a good way or a bad way? I liked it,
but when you actually think about it logically, it shouldn't have worked. That controller shouldn't. It was like shaped like a spaceship. It essentially had like a big bit in the middle, which went. Think of the PlayStation controller. If you never had it, if you're too young and you don't know what I'm talking about, if you never had a N64, think of the PlayStation controller, but the two bits that stick down are a little bit longer. And then in the middle, there was one analog stick, and it was on a really long bit that came down. So it was longer than the two outside bits. It looked like a weird spaceship.
I liked it because for like shooting games, like, so because that long bit that you're talking about in the middle, you used to hold that like a gun, and then on the left, on the right hand side, you do extra little controls. Yeah,
the long bit also had a trigger underneath it, the Z button was like, listen, it's a classic controller. Some people used to hold it like that, and other people still, even when they used the analog stick, still held it from the outside.
How could you? Wow.
They held it from the outside and then used their thumb to.
That's like people that play table tennis and they don't hold the bat facing away from them. They hold it like upside down and the round bit's facing towards them, and they like flick their hand over table tennis.
That's how like all the pros play it.
Yeah.
If you watch like the Olympics and that, well, not all of them, but they do hold it like mad weird. If you watch the Olympics, like, a lot of the like Chinese players who are sick at ping pong, they hold it like in a mad way.
Techers.
And then like when they hit the ball, because it's so quick, the movement is so fast. I always try and watch it and see how they're, like, not because I'm trying to get amazing at ping pong, just because I want to understand how they do it. Like, but I can't see it because it's so quick. How they hit it is just crazy. Anyway, I digress.
Anyway, Skyfront VR.
Yeah.
Seeing as we're talking about a lot of fives, what do you want to give it out of five?
It's hard for me because I'm just going to be completely honest with you. I'm not that into VR. There's nothing in the VR world for me. There's nothing that I've played that's grabbed me proper yet. I haven't played a game virtual reality where I've gone, oh my god, this is amazing. So I'm not a big fan of the concept in general, but what I will give it is, for the VR experience, about four.
Strong four.
I feel like that's a good, fair enough score. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't fantastic, but it wasn't terrible. So I feel like four is a good score.
It's out now. You can find out for yourself.
Yep.
Yeah. After that, we threw you into a world that was not VR. We stayed on Steam, though. And can I just say, I'm so happy, and I know Nick is as well, that you can use the iconic PlayStation controller that hasn't changed for like 20 years? That much?
Ever.
Really? Yeah. Okay, yeah, it's got a couple of extra bits onto it, but the main shape has been the same for about 20 years, bruv.
Which is, well, listen, if it ain't broke, you know what I mean?
What else has stayed the same hardware-wise for 20 years? Phones have changed.
Yeah.
Watches have changed, smartwatches. I don't know. It's crazy.
But the thing is, we're wandering into dangerous territory. only because, like, some people will turn around and say to you, yeah, the shape might have stayed the same, but like the controller is completely different inside.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. You know, there's probably things that PlayStation have massively improved within the controller. So, you know, if you're saying what else?
Keyboards and mice.
Speakers.
Yeah.
You could say, because speakers are like all pretty much the same shape, but yeah, the inside. True. You know, it's loads of things, but I get what you mean. The point you're trying to make is that most other consoles, even the difference between, say, the original Xbox into the Xbox 360, into the Xbox One, you know what I mean? Like the controller has changed.
It's become more PlayStation like.
Yeah.
I feel blatantly.
Yeah.
Blatantly. I mean, the only people to go super left with it are Nintendo, and they're just on their own craziness. And we haven't spoken about the Nintendo cardboard thing.
No.
Super quick digression. We've got to cover this properly on another show. But fucking Nintendo.
It's what they do.
They have, like, so there's obviously Google Cardboard.
Yeah.
That is a cardboard device that you use for VR. Nintendo have taken the idea with the Joy-Con control pads that have like motion sensors, and they have just have a very unconventional buttons in different places, and they've created these cardboard devices that you can buy and use your games in totally different ways.
I saw someone turning their controllers or game into like a piano,
yeah,
and stuff like that. You can like, you can do all kinds of madness with this.
Crazy. Yeah. And there were people, it looked like they would, I need to investigate this before we cover this in Hansking Hour. Looks like they were using their control pads to move some sort of cardboard robot. And I don't know what they were they were using Nintendo components to make it happen.
It's mad.
Need to look into that.
The possibilities could be massive with that, though. You know.
Yeah, I think we need to get into that. But we're talking about games today. It's February. We had our top five apps. We've had a VR experience. We took you out of the VR fire, Nick.
Thank goodness. Because I was getting killed on that game. I was like, I can't take no more of this. But then you dropped me in this next one.
Hello Neighbor, which is.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'll let you take the lead on this, Nick, because it's a different game, right?
I'll tell you what it is. The first syllable of the first word. Hell. That's what it was. This game was absolute hell. Like, you know, the premise of the game, the way I described it in the video, which we'll link to in the show description, of course, is it's basically a cartoony version of Metal Gear Solid. You got to like sneak around in this dude's house, right? So you're a kid and you got to get into this guy's house. I can't even remember why I had to bloody go in his house.
You rolled your ball down the road at the start of it and then you saw something, without spoiling the story, you saw something happen which you shouldn't really have seen.
Right.
But you want to do the right thing and get into his house and help out.
See, I was playing this game for so long, I forgot about that at the beginning. Essentially, yeah, you got to get into his house and find some stuff whilst you're in his house. But the trick is, this guy keeps catching you. Well, he's not meant to catch you, but like if you're me, you keep getting caught. And the thing is, he learns, how this game works is he learns the ways that you've tried to get in before. So, you know, you might play another game where, or a regular game where it's like, you'll take the same route every time to beat a boss or get into somewhere. And like, you might die, but then the next time you'll get a little bit further and then a little bit further and a little bit further by doing the same thing. This guy learns the routes that you've tried before. So like, the aim of the game essentially is try not to get caught loads of times, unlike me, because otherwise he'll learn.
And he's pretty crafty, isn't he? He's quite sharp.
Yeah, he's very sharp. And the thing is, it's quite, although the game's not like a scary game, as in like, you know, it's not like a horror game, it's quite cartoony. The music in, because I was playing on headphones, the music is like, especially when he's coming for you, the music is very like, it's like Jawsy. Yeah, it's very Jawsy type music when he's coming for you. And like, especially if you can't see where he's coming from or whatever, it's just, it's a nightmare.
I was sweating when you were in certain situations. Nick was hiding around the corner and you just heard dum 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 dum, and then you were like sticking your head out to have a little look and then creeping away in the corner.
And the thing is, frustrating. It's one of those games that like I said, if you like creeping around, if you like problem solving, if you like trying to, you know, work something out or send someone the wrong direction and then like sneak in behind them and stuff like that, then you'll definitely like this game. But for me, I just got irritated after a while because it was like, again, I don't want to give anything away, but there's a specific, I didn't even get that far, right? So what I'm explaining to you, some people probably solved this or did this in the first 30 seconds of playing the game, but it took me ages. There's a specific point where it's like, you need to do something to get to the next part of the game. And like, I just kept messing it up, which meant I kept having to do it again and again and again and again. And I was just like stuck in loop, essentially.
And some people like the fact that as well as that, the game has a kind of, I feel like it's intentional, a clunky feel to it.
Yeah, yeah.
So you'll throw something down. And again, like in another computer game, you'll throw it in the same place every time and it'd land in the exact same place. But I feel like the way they've set up the physics, you might, for example, want to throw a box down and jump on it. But if you don't throw it down at the right angle, the box will just tip over, fall off.
Annoying.
Or you try and jump. And to be honest, you got quite frustrated with
it's
bro.
It's annoying, man. Like you said, like I come from an age of computer games where like you point at where you want to throw something and then it just magically appears there.
Yeah.
Bing. Perfectly. Whereas this is a bit more realistic. I mean, I guess realistic isn't the right word, but it's a bit more kind of like if your angles are wrong when you put something down, it would just roll away. And
yeah.
You're like, oh my God.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
and if you like a bit of jump scare, which is the kind of that horror kind of vibe to it, and you like a challenge, I think it's really good for you. I mean, I feel like it was quite sinister.
Yeah.
I feel like they've covered it up in a kind of nice glossy look, but it's quite sinister. And I do like the way that when you did complete a bit of a level, Nick, and then it kind of gave you a taste of information to give you a background on why your neighbor might have done what they had done at the start of the game. I'm trying not to spoil it. Start of the game and you're trying to help. I mean, I enjoy it. I think I'd like to get my teeth stuck into it a bit more, but I would definitely end up going online, finding out how to pass a certain part of a level very early on. I don't think it's the sort of game that I could crack all by myself.
Yeah, I mean, if you can crack this without any help online, you are some kind of Rain Man genius, bro.
Exactly. So we went for that Hello Neighbor out of 5. What do you want to give it?
For me, I'm giving that a 3.
And that is because it wasn't really, I don't think the game failed, but I don't think it was your cup of tea.
No, it's subjective. There's people listening to this who might play that game and go, oh my God, he gave this a 3. This is a straight 7 out of 5. This is so good. But for me, it just wasn't the type of it wasn't the type of game that is built for me.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? Like, it's like I said, like you said, I should say, it was very glossy as well. You know, it looked good. Decent kind of, decent hook, but yeah. just wasn't the right one for me.
And furthermore, that's the sort of game that I'm a bit of a pussy. So I'd be shook to play that by myself. The pressure would get yeah. to me and I'd be like, I want to play something else. But sitting in a room, it's a sort of game I'd have a go on. And I'd say, like, every time you lose a life, pass on the control.
Yeah, pass the
someone
pad.
Else. Lose pass the life, pad. Pass the pad. And it's a sort of game where a lot of people would be like, oh, look, look, what you need to do is you need to, no, you yeah, need yeah, to do yeah. That sort of thing. I can see people getting involved in it. It's out on Steam. If it's out on any other formats, we'll let you know on howtokillanhour.com. As Nick and I have been saying throughout the show, find out about everything that we speak about on today's show by checking out the links in the show description or going to our lovely looking website, howtokillanhour.com. Now, that's not the final game that we're going to leave you with today.
Nah.
We got exclusive hands-on on a game that has come out today. If you were listening to this on the 25th of January, the game is out. We managed to get an exclusive playthrough on a beta version a few weeks ago. Now we have the full day one version of the game. And that game is Monster Hunter.
You can't say it properly.
Every time.
Monster Hunter World.
Monster Hunter World.
Yeah, you're hunting monsters.
Monster. Oh, fuck.
You can't say it.
Yeah, anyway, Monster Hunter World. How did you find, like, last time you played a beta, they threw us in to a mission and we slayed this semi-dinosaur, semi-demon, pooey monster.
Whatever it, monster.
It was covered in poo, monster.
Monster. Yeah. This was, I feel like this is more the type of game that I would be into, to be honest with yeah. you. It's one of those games where you're wandering around. I can't talk now. You're wandering around. You're kind of finding things for yourself. You're having to collect things and stuff like that. But there's yeah. a story as well.
Yeah.
This was, as you said, this was the single player story mode that we yep. were playing. So yep. I'm quite into, and this, again, this, I know this, lots of people differ here. Some people buy video games and never even play the single player offline mode. They just buy them and go straight online multiplayer. But like, I actually do like the story modes. So I was intrigued to find out a little bit more about this. One thing worth mentioning is there is a lot of just gas to get through at the start. You know, like with a lot of these style of games, and it's a criticism that a lot of people have made of even, you know, the holy grail of games like this, such as GTA. Yeah. There's a lot of talking. Sometimes people just want to play. You know, and I know they have to set things up. I do totally get that, because if they just went straight in, people are like, oh, there's no fucking setup. This
yeah,
is bullshit.
Yeah.
But like, sometimes you do just want to get on and play. But like, you know, yeah. the storyline is needed. I thought it was good. But they could maybe speed it up a little bit.
Or like give you more of a taste, like certain other games. You know what a clever thing that they used to do with games is, or they still sometimes do, is you start the game as somebody who's got all the powers or a lot of powers, and then something happens and they lose them all. Or you might start the game as one of the professionals at the end with got a few powers, smashing up this big monster, and then, oh, just let me off, monster, and then they then say, right, let's scale it back a bit. You are now their apprentice, and you now have to train up. Or at least give you ways of having a bit of a taste
yeah.
a little bit earlier on. Maybe it's because we were just together and we were both like, oh, let's get to monsters. Or is it a case where it might be a case where if you're at home chilling and taking your time with it, you really, really appreciate it. For me, I would have liked a bit more. I mean, you played at a reasonable speed. You had a bit of fun. In fact, you kind of pushed through certain bits because you just wanted to get to the action. Yeah.
When there was a lot of talking and that, instead of reading the speech or listening to the speech, I was just like, bing, 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 you know, because I just wanted to get through it.
Yeah. So if it's something where you just want to get straight into the kickassery, you got to give it a nice 45 minutes, hour before you get to the juicy bits.
That's exactly how long it took. It took me 45 minutes basically to get to the first bit of action where I was like taking on some monsters or slash dinosaurs, whatever you want to call them. But you know, that was fun once I started
doing
that.
Yeah, when you did, you got in, you went in heavy.
I had a hammer, bruv. It was hammer time.
That was a big old piece of hammer.
Yeah, they call me MC Hammer.
Yeah, it was definitely hammer time, bruv. But another great thing about that I noticed is that is the cooperation, the co-op stuff they got going on is great. You can get co-op for certain quests online as part of your story.
Right, okay.
So when you were going into quests, it was showing, it was trying to connect online to get involved with other people. So I think that would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
So we've got a few mates, they've done their intro to the game, especially if they're big Monster Hunter fans, you can hop on and kick ass with your mates
in the story mode.
Yeah, and we enjoyed that when we were playing the beta version. That was fun. Like, yeah. Oh yeah, quick, run around there, get the knees, you know, fire this.
I reckon they've done that because, like I said earlier, some people are buying games and not even playing the story mode. They're just buying games 100%. Going straight online. So I reckon 100%. they're trying to integrate people to still, or encourage people to still play the single player story mode or multiplayer story mode as it is now.
Yeah, and in its defense, with regards to the complexity of the intro, that is probably because it is a very complex game in terms of potions and armor and setting up your character, your character's little helper, making sure you've got your attributes in a certain way set up for specific monsters. It's very, very much a game where it's going from that turn-based, you can see it's come from a turn-based background and it's kind of moving towards that sort of real RPG slash open world vibe.
Yeah.
And it works, but like with Final Fantasy that we've played on How to Kill an Hour last year, you do have to give it a bit of time. So if you want to get straight to the hack and slash, yeah, unfortunately, you know, you have to chill. But bearing that in mind, what do you give it out of five?
Out of five, I'm going to give Monster Hunter World a 4.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's quite a nice score. Yeah. And that's out on PS4. I believe that's... Is that out on Xbox as well, Billy? Monster Hunter 4?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, we think so. We should know, really. But I'm a PS man. 99% sure. 99%. Should we make that? Should we check the 100% now? Billy's just doing some Googling.
Live Google on the show right
live.
Now.
Live. Press fast forward 15 seconds on that
it's
pod app.
Google Live. Get through. Here he comes with the definitive update.
Billy's still Googling.
How to kill an hour.
We got some dialogue. He's not on the internet anymore. Let me just check with Maya.
He's disconnected from the internet.
All the porn that he looks at. Monster Hunter.
It's all that chicken porn he's been watching with you, Marcus.
Nah, man. I really don't know. There'll be probably be people in a few years fighting for their own rights to get married to their chickens.
Cockfighting.
Yes, it is.
It is. There you go.
Yeah.
For Xbox One, Microsoft Windows.
Xbox One, Microsoft Windows, and PS4. Yeah, get your hands on it. We'll put a link to that in the show description. Nick, I know you have to get out of here because you've been playing a lot of games with us today.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us here on How to Kill Now. Before we leave, where can we find you in terms of the work that you're doing and online? Please.
Of course, you can find me on all the socials. Nick Bright DJ is where you can find me. Listen to my radio show as well. I'm on BBC Radio 1 Extra Saturday and Sunday, 10 until 1. It's 10 in the morning until 1 in the afternoon. Talking some shit and playing some tunes, man. That's how we get down.
Indeed, indeed. I'm Marcus Bronzy, MarcusBronzy on all social medias. And we are at How to Kill an Hour on all social medias. Like I said, check out howtokillanhour.com. If you want to look for some more ways to kill some time, we'll have videos up and links to all of the content that we've been speaking about on today's show. There's plenty of ways to kill some time out there. Thank you for killing some time with I, Marcus Bronzy.
And me, Nick Bright.
Bless.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.